Well, greetings in Jesus' name this morning to you all. It's a blessing to be here. Home folks, visitors, join us in worshiping the Lord this morning. We have been richly instructed already this morning in the word about the Word of God. If we could just bow our heads for a word of prayer before we begin. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, Lord. Father, pray that you would continue to speak to us as you've already have this morning, Lord. Pray that you would break to us, Lord, the bread of life. That you would speak to each heart, Lord, this morning, each soul, as you see fit. Just pray, Father, that you would just help me to share the things you have laid on my heart to share, Lord, and that it would be your word, Father, this morning. Just pray that you would be present here and guide our lips, Lord, our thoughts this morning to speak to us. Just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, our family has in the past number of years, different times throughout the summer, we go camping with other families. And seems like different times we have, as we sat there as families there, I don't know how it all came about, but the children have wanted us to describe them with one word. In other words, as we think about their lives, it's something that sort of describes them. And there's probably people that come to your mind as you think of them, you might think of giving. In other words, that's sort of who they are as a person in a sense. When there's needs there, they give of their time, of their resources. They're always there to give. And whatever, wherever there's a need, they're there to give. And as you think of them, if you think of their lives, that's what you think of, giving. There's people that come to my mind, I think of compassionate, where there are hurting people, they're there to comfort them. There's people that I've, in the past, that I think of at times I've thought about critical. It just seemed like they were always negative about things in life. Complaining, maybe. And there's probably people you could think of. Different things come to your mind that would describe them, who they are. I wonder if we would ask ourselves this morning, so what describes us as a person? There may some things come to your mind that maybe you'd rather not say. How it would be for me. And then there's other things you think of that you think, well, I hope people think that of me. I mean, you know, we like when people think well of us. There's good words, there's good adjectives that we would like to be attributed to our lives. And there's others that maybe we rather they wouldn't be attributed to our lives, whether they're correct or not. But this morning, I would like to go a little bit deeper than that. Because really, it doesn't really matter what Joe says that describes me as a person. Or what Elson would say that describes me as a person. There's a verse in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10:18 says, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." So this morning, as we think about our lives, the most important thing is, what does God think about us? If God would look at each one of us individually, and he would say, this is what would describe Brother Reuben. You know, what would it be? So as we think of that, I wrote on the board, the sum equals. So as we think about our relationship to the Lord this morning, or our service to the Lord, You know, that what would the sum equal this morning of our lives? And there's a lot of things we could talk about. We could talk about doctrine. Doctrine is important, right? Those are the things we should talk about. We could talk about how to practically make application to the principles of the Word of God. That would be very important. We could talk about the things the Bible teaches, the do's and the don'ts. But if we would have to sum it up in one word of what our service to the Lord is about, what would it be? One word. Jesus told us. Somebody care to guess? We've heard it this morning already. Love. And if there is ever in our life, as individuals, if something other than love defines our life, then we have missed, in essence, what the Lord really came to teach us about. I'd like to turn to Matthew 24, or 21. Actually, it's in verse chapter 22, starting in verse 35. It says there, one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, Jesus, tempting him, saying, Master, what is the great commandment? In other words, we could ask, what is the most important thing in life? And I wonder if we would start going around the neighborhood in our community, we would ask people, so what do you think is the most important thing in serving the Lord? I don't know what they would say, but sometimes we observe what we think is important to them. You know, people can say unkind things. We as husbands, we can be short with our wives, or vice versa, or with our children. Or we could complain about our boss or the employees we work with. But do we in our minds, because we dress modestly and conservative in those things, do we still think we're spiritual? You follow my train of thought? The other day, my wife was at a greenhouse, and she said she was there with a young girl, and down below in the barn, away from the greenhouse, she couldn't even see down there. But there was a dad hollering out to his son in anger about things he was supposed to do and wasn't getting done. But if you would have asked him, so what do you think is the most important thing in serving the Lord? What would he have said? Well, would he have said, you know, to dress plain or live a conservative lifestyle? I don't know what he would have said. But sometimes people in what they do, it defines their spirituality. I remember a young boy that, or not young, it was actually an older boy, but he really had a struggle, an immorality. And time and again, he would just confess and he would ask for help. But he made this statement one time. He said that somehow he believed that over the years, because of his conservative lifestyle and how he dressed, God would somehow sort of overlook his struggle. You know, if something other than love defines our spirituality as individuals or as a congregation or as a people, we have missed, in essence, what Jesus really came to teach us about. Anyway, this lawyer came and asked Jesus, and he said, what is the greatest commandment in the law? You know, there's people that would say, well, do we still have a law to follow? I thought Christ came to deliver us from the law. But, you know, the New Testament still has do's and don'ts. In fact, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The New Testament still has laws to follow. So this man came to Jesus and he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all. How much is all? It's everything, right? In other words, it encapsulates our whole being. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love the Lord, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. So in other words, what Jesus was saying that is, if we take all the do's and don'ts of the New Testament, all the teachings, and we would encapsulate them into one word, it would be love. That's basically what he was saying. And you know, even the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, we could actually divide into two categories, and that is our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. Jesus said, if a man love my words, he will keep my commandments. But you know, just because we keep the commandments of God doesn't necessarily mean that we're pleasing the Lord. And that is the heart that I want to bring out this morning, is it is very important in what we do, but why are we doing what we're doing? Is it motivated by love, or is it something else? Because I believe that if the way we live and the things that we do, if it's motivated by anything other than love, then we have missed, in essence, what Jesus came to teach us about. You know, tomorrow morning, next week, the week after, we face a lot of decisions and choices in life. What is going to make us make the right decisions? Why do we go places that we go or don't go? Or do the things that we do or don't do? Or why do we wear the clothes that we wear or don't wear? You know, sometimes it's, and I know in the past years I've been guilty of this. When our children ask us, why can't we do that? You know, it's easy to say, well, you know, the church teaches against it. Or it's, you know, we can say a lot of things. And I believe we heard this morning about influence. Influence is a good thing. Peer pressure, good peer pressure is a good thing. But it's not enough to take us through life. We need the love of God, as Romans says, that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given unto us. When we love God with all our heart, all our soul, our might and strength, the things that we do or don't do should motivate us because we love the Lord our God. Amen. In other words, children, you know that when you do your schoolwork, when you have addition problems, you know that 2 plus 2 equals 4, or 10 plus 10 equals 20. That's components that are added together, and you get the sum. And this is what Jesus basically was saying. He said that if we would add all the do's and the don'ts, all the commandments in the New Testament, this is what they would equal, is love. That would be the total of it. And, you know, I would like to say, brothers and sisters, I don't think we have missed it here. In fact, I think we could say that we sense a love and a unity among us as brothers. But I want to caution us, because in any setting, church setting, We know there are differences. We know we think differently. And trying to think how I want to say this. You know, when we start becoming critical at one another, or we start compromising, we are in danger of getting a different some other than love. I would like to go to Revelations chapter 2 and read a couple verses there, verse 1 through 5. This was Jesus' words to John there in the Isle of Patmos to the church of Ephesus. He says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." We say, what a testimony. Amen. But then he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." He said, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." And brothers and sisters, the first works he's talking about is that right there, love. You know, we can do a lot of good things, but if it's not motivated by love, it means nothing. Now, I want to be clear that love is not the neglect of commandments. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Love is not the neglect of doctrine, or the neglect of what we don't do or what we do or don't do. Rather, love is the stimulus, or could we say the fuel, that powers the engine. That is what love should do for us. When we truly have the love of God in our hearts, that is the effect that it should have in our lives. And I believe the difference is whether we're living for Christ or in Christ. In other words, is what we are doing coming from our innermost being with the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts? Or are we doing it just for, yeah, whatever other reason? You know, back in 2009 and 2010, our family had moved to Florida for about 9 months. In seeking the Lord for direction and where he would have us to go, we had sold a property in Pennsylvania. And in our 9 months in Florida, I observed something that I've never have otherwise. We all know that Florida is a place of, I mean, everybody flocks to Florida for the wintertime for vacation, it seems like. And as I observed people coming down there, there were people, plain people, conservative people. And when they came to Florida, not all of them, but there was quite a few of them, lived a total different lifestyle when they were in Florida. And I started pondering those things, and you know, to me, it just became very clear whether people are doing what they're doing because they love the Lord, or if they're doing it because they're under the law of the church. There's a difference. You know, when we do what we do because we love the Lord, we can go wherever we want to go. Our life won't change. We will always live the same, whether we're with a brother in church or whether we're by ourselves as a family going somewhere. If we live the way we live because we love God, there won't be any difference wherever we're at. And I'm sure those people, when they came back home, They looked like they did before. Conservative. They were probably under the church. They're obedient to the church. But they're living under the standard of man. So, I guess this morning, as I think about that, we can just ask it again. So what is our experience with the Lord? I trust that our experience with God, the things that we do are because we love the Lord. And there are other people that think the message of love is a message of compromise. Yeah, we've found peace with God, and we've just live, we're free from the bondage of the law. And they just live as they would want to live. They live as they please. But the message of love that Jesus brought is not a message about compromise. It's a message of sacrifice. It's a message of self-denial. It's a message of suffering. I mean, that's what Jesus, you remember, it says that God so loved that he gave. It wasn't just in the giving, but it was because that he loved that he gave. And as we think of Jesus' life, there was suffering. There was self-denial. There was sacrifice. And we are called in the Christian life to die daily. It doesn't mean that what the Lord instructs us to do, that we always in our flesh would desire to do it. You know, when we think of Jesus in the garden, he said, God, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but thine be done. So when the Spirit of the Lord speaks to us, or through his word, whether our flesh would want to do it or not, if we love the Lord our God, we will say, yes, Lord. Amen. This is what your word says. This is why we do what we do. This is why we say no to the world and yes to Jesus. And so, my heart is this morning that we as families, that as a congregation, as the people look on, that we would be defined. That the totality of our lives would be equal to love. Now, there are people that will stand for truth, and we should, right? That is really what we have to go by. But there have been people in the past that I have agreed with them doctrinally, but I have disagreed with their spirit. And I'm just going to say, when people are pulling out their sword to do battle like Peter did in defending Jesus, I'm sorry, I can't stand behind that, because it's not motivated by love. You know, Peter thought he was doing what was right. I mean, he was defending truth, right? Jesus was truth. But what did Jesus say? He said, Peter, put up thy sword. And I believe that would be Jesus' words to us this morning, would be, put up your sword. Love should be the motivating factor of what we do and don't do. And we also know that there are times when we have to take a stand against unrighteousness. We have to know where the enemy is working. But what is motivating us to take the stand? Is it because of love? Or is there some other motive? And I know sometimes maybe it's hard for us to decipher, where we need to seek the Lord and say, what am I really doing this? Is love the motivating factor that I'm doing why I'm doing? But when we find ourselves doing what we're doing because of love, that's where we have peace. And that's where we have joy. You know, we're not going to have peace and joy when we give leeway to the flesh, will we? That's where guilt comes from. But we'll find it. We'll find joy and peace when we, in our everyday walk of life, we have we have a practical daily walk of holiness that is motivated by love. That is where I find joy and peace with God. Jesus summed it up. He said, actually, in Galatians, I would like to go to Galatians. Let me look here. Galatians 5, I think it is. Galatians 5, verse 13. Here it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty in occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word." There it is. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." This morning, Brother Joshua, he read that verse of loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I think Elson made a statement about the foundation. And you know, that is the foundation of strong families, is love. And a congregation. And I believe even in the workplace, we don't need to separate the workplace from physical, spiritual. We can have it in the workplace where there is love. That's the foundation that we build off of. But then he says, as we continue, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." I believe we would all agree where there is biting and devouring going on, there is a lack of love. A lack of the love of God flowing. And there's a good chance there will probably be consuming going on. So as we think of that, what was the distinguishing mark that Jesus said that all men would know that we are his disciples? John 13, 34, 35 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." You know, he didn't say anything else. But he said, if we love each other, all men will know. In other words, there's a testimony that comes with that. So in light of that, in light of the sum equaling to love, I would like to turn to 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling thimble." In other words, if I would have the wisdom to speak every language there is, the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Now, he didn't say put away with faith. We know faith is very important. And in fact, Joshua, I can say amen to what Joshua shared this morning. Hebrews says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is important. Prophecy is important. But he said if it's not motivated by love, it profiteth nothing. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor," now he's talking about giving. You know, men can give a lot of things. My mind went to Ananias and Sapphira when I read of this. Selling land to give to the poor. But what was motivating him to do it? It wasn't love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And now I would like to, as we continue to read from verse 4 through 7, let's think about our relationships with other people. It says, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. And that word easily is not in the original text. It would actually read, is not provoked. In other words, love is not provoked to bitterness or to anger. And thinketh no evil. Vaunteth not itself. In other words, it doesn't boast about itself. Is not puffed up. You know, if we as husbands who are called to be the head of the home, or if we are an employee and have employees working under us, or even as ministry of the church, if we are ever motivated by position, that's a lack of love. The Bible says, love is not puffed up. Then it says, think is no evil. Have we ever, in our minds, as we think of things that happened to us in the past, and maybe there are people that have hurt us, that have wronged us, that have maybe used us in a way that wasn't kind. And maybe after some time something happened to them, and we would say, wow, well, the Lord is dealing with them. I just hope that, you know, have we ever had those thoughts? It says, love thinketh no evil. I also thought about the verse where it says that if we would even give our body to be burned. I thought of people in the past that have given their lives for Jesus' sake. But would someone actually, in the name of Jesus, give their lives if they wouldn't love Jesus? Could that be a reality? I believe there is. You know, there have been people professing Christians who have raised their, taken out their sword to do battle in the name of Jesus. But it wasn't done in love. But they would have professed Christianity, right? And there's a verse in John 16:2. It says this way, he said, they shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, and the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. It's hard to imagine that, how someone could actually not be experiencing the love of Christ, and yet they would think that somehow they would be doing Christ's service. And Paul, on the way to Damascus, persecuting the church, he thought he was doing what was right until God came to his attention. Love weeps with those who weep and rejoices with those who rejoice, Romans 12:15. Another thing I thought of, there's a verse that says that love covers a multitude of sin. You know, I don't think that means that we say, well, Brother Reuben, you know, you can just live the way you want to live. I'm still going to love you. But I think in sin, when people fall into sin, we're there to cover, we're there to help them, to bring them up. Love does that. And I think the other thing sometimes is when we see people making mistakes, we don't have to just go tell everybody, right? I mean, if we really love them, it says love covers a multitude of sins. It says charity never faileth. There it is. Charity never faileth. But what, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And I believe he's talking about the love. When that which is perfect is come. You know, I think James talks about the perfect law of liberty. Love. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, the three, but the greatest of these is charity. There's a song that probably many of you know it. But I think of it often as I read this last verse. It says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, the three. But the greatest of these is charity. You know, someday faith will be no more. Neither will hope. We won't have to hope anymore. But love will be throughout all eternity. Love will remain. The song is Gracious Spirit, Holy Ghost. It says, Gracious Spirit, Holy Ghost, taught by thee we covet most of the gift at Pentecost, holy, heavenly love. Love is kind and suffers long. Love is meek and thinks no wrong. Love than death itself more strong. Therefore, give us love. Prophecy will fade away, melting in the light of day. Love will ever with us stay. Therefore, give us love. And this is the verse I'm talking about. It says, faith will vanish into sight. Hope be emptied in delight. Love in heaven will be more bright. Therefore, give us love. Faith and hope we love, and love we see, joining hand and hand agree. But the greatest of the three and the best is love. From the overshadowing of thy gold and silver wing, shut on us who to thee sing, holy, heavenly love. There's the story of this young girl who loved her parents. And she was, I don't remember the whole story. I just remember that she was challenged of doing something wrong. And she knew that it would go against her parents' wishes. And she came to the point and she said, I can't do it. I love my mom and dad too much. I can't do it. And I think that will be the motivating. If we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength, we will follow his will and plan that he has for us. Closing verse I would like to read in Colossians 3, starting in verse 12. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Many important things to follow. But then he says, and above all these things, put on the bond of perfectness. You know, love is what will hold us together as a family. Love is what will keep us together as a congregation. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And I'm just going to confess this morning, brothers, I don't feel like I have it all together. But my desire, my prayer to the Lord is that he would fill me with his divine love and that he would help me live out. The way that I live would be because I love my God. God bless you all.
Brother Joe and I had a story of a kind of ended with the story of this young girl that was affected by love in her heart. Now, I have another young girl. It's my daughter, Annalisa. She's just, a lot of you don't know her, visitor. She's born without a left hand. And I remember when she's like 4 or 5 years old, maybe 5 or 6, some family was visiting at our home. The well-meaning father, he's well-respected. He's actually a minister. He called Annalisa over to him and just took her hand and said, "Now, children, come and look. I just want to show you what, you know, God's special work here." And it just mortified my daughter. She's been dealing with that in her own heart, of course, and he meant it well. But kind of after that episode, his daughter, probably 7, 8-year-old daughter, just went over and just put her arms around Annalisa. And now, I'll try to keep it together, but I think about that often or occasionally. Annalisa faces hard things in life or needs to go address in a vulnerable situation. You know where she'll go? You think she'll go to the daughter or to the father? I know where she'll go. I know her well enough. I think that's what Brother Jonah was sharing. Sometimes you need to put out your hand. We all need to stretch out our sin issues, things in life, but you just notice, where do people like that, where are they comfortable with? I think we all know, when they know there's love, when there's compassion there. I go there. I do it often with the Lord. Why do you think people flocked to him to be healed? They had the teachers of the law for years and years, but they could help very few people, really. They could sit and criticize. But, yeah, this is good. This morning when we sang this song, "Jesus, I've Come to Offer," for some reason this just hit me more than usually. Verse 3, "Lord, to thee I freely offer all I love, a joyful waver. See, I'm keeping nothing here. Search me, try me, prove my yearning." I think that's what we want to open our hearts to God. He's the one that does the searching. He should be doing the searching, but we tend to so often want to do that for each other, search others. But if we truly do this, I think the love will, quality will increase. "If prove my yearning, if to trifles I am turning, take them from me right away. Take them from me right away." Do you ever hear of a church that had issues and things worked through and the sum of the matter was they just loved each other too much? You ever hear that? I don't think so. We all need to be very, very honest in our own heart. I've been through that journey. Let's see, probably every one of you also. Been difficulties, ups and downs, just things to work through. Wasn't too much love, the right kind of love. I know some people might have flags. Oh, this is just permissive gospel we're hearing. Just accept everything. Not at all. Jesus could have been accused of the same thing at all, but he attracted more people, followers, and still be so today. We're truly loving one another, loving God. As was shared, it's okay. It'll come out okay.